Welcome to the DermVet Podcast. I'm Dr. Ashley Bourgeois, a board-certified veterinary dermatologist practicing in Portland, Oregon with animal dermatology clinics. I'm also a mom of two, just trying to find the balance like everyone else. Let's learn to ditch the itch, cytology, everything, and make derm more fun than frustrating.
As I was at a recent conference lecturing about food allergy, a couple really quick and dirty tricks came up that I wanted to just put in a concise way into a podcast episode for you. And just to kind of backtrack a little bit, I'm really excited that, as I told you this year, I wanted to get back to more of those interview-styled podcasts. And I have a couple scheduled. I'm so excited. But as things are kind of getting a bit more stable with our family and our son's treatment, I really miss doing more interview-like episodes just so I can learn more and to have other opinions and voices on the podcast. So just know that in the next couple of months, you're going to hear more and more of those episodes, and I cannot wait to share them with you. But as I've talked a lot about diet trials in the past with podcast episodes, I just wanted to put a short, easy set of tips together for you guys to make diet trials easier. Now, this is not going to go through the different foods that you can use. We've talked a lot about that on the podcast. I just want a couple quick little tips that you guys can utilize no matter what diet you are using. Because even as dermatologists, we all have different opinions over our favorite diets to use, you know, what we've had success with in the past as far as palatability goes. And then maybe what we haven't had success with in the past, whether it's caused a dog to flare or there's palatability issues with that. So a couple of tricks overall I started to think about with diet trials. One of the biggest complaints that we get whenever we're going to start a pet on a diet trial is, especially if they're a younger dog, what are they going to chew? Because people do utilize a lot of things like bully sticks and raw hides to kind of get that chewing when they need that distraction, to get them chewing on something that's not furniture or shoes. That can be really difficult. You know, as a young dog is learning, they really have that desire to chew and they don't know how to control that desire. So when we get asked, what do I do to get my dog to chew on something? A couple of things I want you guys to be aware of. One, traditionally what I have done is there are certain things like Nylabones you can get that are unflavored, but that doesn't seem to work in some of my cases. So then what I have historically done is I will try to reach for a diet that has a canned option. And then what I'll have owners do is stuff Kongs, like non-flavored Kongs, with that canned option, and I will have them freeze it. They don't have to fully line the Kong because obviously that can get to be high calories for that patient. If they get numerous Kongs throughout the day, they can just kind of line the bottom of it. But I have found that to be very effective. That's what I did with my own dog when she was going through a diet trial as a young dog, is I would fill up a Kong with wet food and then freeze it so that it takes her a little bit longer to get through it. And at least for my dog, that would distract her for, you know, 20, 30 minutes, kind of just depending on how fast she was chewing and licking through it. And so I'd have multiples just frozen in her freezer that we could reach for in those situations. Even if you have certain diets you want to utilize, but they don't have a canned option. So for example, Ultimino would be one that does not have a canned option. Depending on how committed the owners are, they can try to make their own, you know, like paste. So they could blenderize the kibble to a powder, make it just add a little water until it's kind of more of a paste. And then they could put that inside of a Kong and freeze that as well. We are starting to hear more and more of different tools that are out there as well. So I have seen people do things like freeze-dried sweet potatoes. Obviously, one of the concerns is just where they make those freeze-dried sweet potatoes, like the ones on the ropes, things like that. We just don't know if they've gone through and done testing to assure nothing else could have gotten on that. So that would be my only caution with that. We have recently heard as well, Rain. We've talked about Rain, R-A-Y-N-E, being another food company out there that has prescription-based diets where they do go through and do the testing, and they have recently just launched a kangaroo dental chew. So if you have a pet on one of their kangaroo diets, like the maintenance diet, there is a dental chew now that is available to go with that diet. So something to be aware of as far as something that they need to chew with. Two is just the lack of having things like hand options. So when people need something like, well, I have to give the medication a pill pocket, and that's something you always want to come back and talk to owners about. If you're going to start a diet trial, how are we giving the pill pocket? You know, how are we actually, or sorry, how are we giving that pill? If we're having them on antimicrobials, Apoquil, cyclosporin, whatever we have them on, how are they giving it? So that we don't miss that as an opportunity to really teach them. They can't do things like pill pockets. But kind of going back to that blender trick, I've had some owners that they're really committed where they'll blenderize it down, they'll kind of make it into a paste, and they will utilize that almost as a pill pocket that they can give to them. I've had owners even with certain diets that don't have other treats like Altamino that have baked that, like made into a paste and baked it and made their own cookies. But that is something, again, that you just have to have a conversation with owners about. How are they giving pills? Are they able to just, you know, kind of go down the hatch? Do they need something else to be able to give that pill with? Because then we need to give them an alternative. You will hear other people, and I've used this some, use marshmallows. So that's important to realize is marshmallow itself has gelatin in it, which would be an animal protein. So if you are going to utilize that, you have to make sure they use vegan or kosher marshmallows, because we have to use marshmallows that don't have any animal protein in them to not compromise the diet trial. But utilizing things like vegan marshmallows, if that's helpful to kind of put a pill in, is another trick. I find that very hit or miss with some of my patients. Some of them love it. Some of them don't like it. Of course, if they're a smaller dog, you won't want them getting too many marshmallows. But that's something else that we can be aware of. We are hearing that there potentially may be some pill pocket-like or little log-like products that are coming from Rain for certain diets. I don't see that currently on their website, but something that we're hearing that could be available. So I like that we're hearing of these other options of things that we can really utilize to give our clients more options. You know, things like the training treats and the jerkies are really great because owners do like to be able to still feel like they can provide that love and that experience to their pets. My third kind of trick, it's not necessarily a trick as much as a reminder. Do not forget, we often think of asking owners what other medications their pets are on, but do not forget to ask about supplements or daily things like toothpaste. Because I have had many owners where they kind of forget about the supplement they're giving, or they're also giving a fish oil and they don't mention it to me, or they're pumping fish oil onto the food because that's still an animal protein, which could potentially hinder our results of a diet trial. So anything that pet gets throughout the day, supplements they buy over the counter, supplements they buy online, you know, different little, I've had people do fish skin, things like that. So anything else that pet's exposed to, we need to know about. Again, toothpaste. A lot of those toothpaste can be flavored, you know, beef flavored, chicken flavored. So we want to either take away the toothpaste or look for things that don't have animal proteins in them. You know, there's like the vanilla mint toothpaste, things like that. Or people can at least go through the mechanical motion of brushing with water. That's still going to help break things up until we get through the diet trial. And then we could always revisit if we wanted to add that in. The other thing I want to mention is just really talking to owners about, you know, what do they need to be successful throughout a diet trial. So often we think of things like treats, right, or other things they can get. And we've gone over a few different tricks you can use, stuffing a Kong and freezing it, you know, looking at some of these other options that we're hearing of companies having available, maybe using vegan marshmallows. Some people feel okay using little things like fruits and vegetables, like, you know, carrots or banana. I always just tell owners, personally for me, I don't get too worried about that. But I always tell owners, you know, the top of the top is being completely pure. Nothing but that food and water, the end. But then we live in the real world. So if we need to take a step down, we're always taking a risk. But clearly there are things that are pretty low risk, like utilizing something like a banana. But I have friends who feel like, who are dermatologists, who do feel like they've identified things like certain fruit and vegetable allergies in pets when they've really gotten into it. So I always just say there's some risk, but, you know, we can try to use things that are lower risk. But for a lot of people, giving a treat, right, is like love. And that's what they want to do. So when you have certain diets that don't really come with other options like treats, but they're diets you really want to utilize, don't forget that they can just use the kibble as treats. It sounds super simple, and that does not work for everybody. But I've had many situations where I'm talking about a certain diet, it doesn't come with anything else. And then they ask about, what about treats? And I'll be like, oh, well, could you just give a little bit less at mealtime and use the kibble as treats? And they're like, oh, yeah, I could do that. They don't really care. They eat everything. So that's not going to work for every patient, but just ask, because I think people just assume, oh, we have to put the full amount in twice a day into the dog food bowl or the cat food bowl if it's cat who needs it. But oftentimes they just forget simple steps. Like, if your pet's still super excited to get that kibble, cool. Just take some from their daily allowance that's in their actual food bowl and use those throughout the day while we do the diet trial. And as you've heard me talk about before, I always give owners an endpoint, a point where we say, okay, let's get through the diet trial. If we identify they're food allergic, it doesn't mean we can never give them anything else again. Because I think that does make people really nervous to do something like a diet trial and diagnose a food allergy, because they feel like, oh, it's just gonna be this forever. I can never give anything else. But that's not necessarily true, at least for me. You know, if I will do individual ingredient challenges, we can do just a treat that they really like to give and see if that causes them to flare. I just need to get through the trial so I can see if food helps his pet or not. So I hope some of those tricks help. I know we've talked a little bit about them, but they're kind of little tidbits that come up when I discuss food allergy or lecture about it that I think can be really beneficial to have in kind of just a shortened episode. And again, thanks for sticking with me. I cannot wait to get back to some of these episodes with other dermatologists, general practitioners, you know, other people, because I think it's always really nice just to hear an open discussion about these things and just get different perspectives. I like my perspective, but I like to change it if I want to change it. You know, I like to hear what other people have to say. I like to evolve how I practice. So stay tuned in the next couple of months as we get back to more of those longer interview type episodes.